24 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Lisa Leahy of the Critical Movie Critics and the Between the Scares podcast. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hi, Rob.
So you ready to find out why Cavendish's package is so important?
Oh, more evidence of leg cramps. I'll tell you, that's what I'm convinced all of this is.
I think you got a point there. we'll have to see. So, minute 124 begins with Cavendish extricating himself from the hole and goes all the way till we get to see Frick beginning to abandon his search.
Mm-hmm.
As we've been discussing all week, this is Escape Week, where we've gotten to see many of the known characters get out of this prison camp through the rabbit hole, as they say, or
yeah.
Up through the rabbit hole.
I definitely feel it. You know, this week is a tough week at school, so I am ready to escape. I get it. I'm feeling what these guys are feeling.
There you go. We get Cavendish, who, as everyone knows, he was the surveyor and didn't know how to measure properly. And that's
apparently
why,
not.
And that is why they are 20 feet short of the woods. As I guess you could say, friend of the show and our first guest months and months ago, Jay Kluet properly pointed out everything went because of Cavendish. First of all, he didn't know how to measure everything, and we're about to find out why he's causing even more problems based on your assumption that it's leg cramps, which it's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
So Cavendish pops out of the hole, and he has this very strange white package that's tied with rope, which, as we mentioned yesterday, is quite strange because if he ever needs to get anything out of this package, it will not be simple. It will be very difficult to tie it up again. So who knows what he's actually carrying in there. He comes out of the hole and starts moving, and then he picks up the package and, trips, falls down right on the package. Hopefully he doesn't have any like glassware in there or anything like that.
I mean, this is a noisy package, too, apparently, because when he lands on it, I mean, everybody is awakened down for three counties.
No question about that. Basically, at this point, it makes a very loud thud. That because, once again, as we've discussed all week, these scenes do not have any music in them. So they're letting us hear the actual sound of the thud. Frick, who's standing next to one of the other guards, they look over. They start getting suspicious about what's going on. At this point, you see Hiltz, Mac, and Roger get a little scared. You have Hiltz crouched down, you have Mac crouched down, and then you have Roger turn, which looks like he's about to flee. Looks like he's ready just to get out of there.
Their time is up.
Roger's like, the hell with everyone else, I'm out of here. You've been a great
got
crowd.
Got out just in time. Cavendish.
I'm gone. but Hiltz is actually, he's the only one of the trio that is still looking at the guards to see what's going on. Now, he looks in a very curious way, the way that he's looking at them. Then Frick starts screaming out into the darkness. I'm going to basically spare everyone from having to listen to my very poor German dialect, and I'm just going to translate what he says. He basically says, "Is anyone there?" Which is something that you would think that not really.
Pretty reasonable.
Not at all. I've been in the army. If you're on guard duty and you hear a sound, the first thought is that it's some animal that's going by or anything like that. You're not going to scream out who's there. That's not the first thing you're going to say. You might think it. You might think it, but I don't think that's the first thing that someone's going to scream out. And at this point, we get to see Roger Mack at the Hiltz once again. Roger and Mack are both completely crouched down, finally. As we discussed yesterday, they strolled across the the 20 yards or 20 feet to the woods.
Like they're having a Sunday stroll.
Exactly. A brisk Sunday stroll, but still not crouching. But here the two of them look, they've been eating dirt, as the phrase goes. And basically, Hiltz is the only one who's just looking, trying to figure out what's going on.
How much do they know?
And Roger's like hiding behind a rock, which...
I can't. This set is amazing.
Yeah. now back to what Frick said when he says, "Is anyone there?" So, or is there anyone? That's actually the direct translation of what I got of of what he said.
My husband will be very proud because he speaks a little bit of German. And I asked him, I pulled him into the room. I said, you need to translate this for me. And that's exactly what he thought. So he'll be very happy that he was right.
Very good. Because Frick is actually a real German. So, you know, he wasn't pretending with his German dialect. There's actually trivia about his character, about his the actor. The actor's name is Till Kiwi. Plays him. He was actually a German POW during World War II in America. And he escaped.
Oh, really?
He escaped numerous times from the various camps that he was stuck in America. And at one point he was in Colorado, I think. And he actually made it to St. Louis before he was recaptured.
Really? And then decided to be in an American film about POWs in a German camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Completely.
Cool.
Seriously. So, yeah, a lot of these actors, you know, have connections to World War II prison camps.
Wow.
Donald Pleasance was in a POW.
I had heard that. Yep.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But the funny thing is when I did a search for the German phrase here, most of the hits that I got were from this German song from 2007 that has the exact same name that is apparently really, really popular. I think he says, "Ist da Jule?" Again,
you're doing better than I would, so it's okay.
I don't want to kill it too much. I don't know. What does he say? He says, "Ist da German?" Something like that.
Huh.
"Ist da German?" Which is apparently a very famous German song. I didn't try to listen to what the song is, and I didn't look to see what it's about. It would be really funny if it was all about The Great Escape. I doubt it is.
This is a bonus episode, Rob. I feel a bonus episode coming.
Not if it's not true. I'll check. If it is, I will make a promise to you that if it is connected, I will do a bonus episode. If
not
it's not, that's just not going to happen. I don't think I have the stamina to do a whole episode on a German song, not connected to the movie at all. If it was connected, then maybe. You know, basically at this point, we see Cavendish like take the package from his side. And he grabs it at a very strange angle. He, like, his hand jerks around like a claw to pick it up. And he brings it and puts it under his
like
head,
hide
like
it.
A pillow. Yeah. Now, is it because
that's
it's white?
That's what I thought. Because he's wearing a really dark
does
coat.
Does he think?
And so I thought he was just trying to just sort of cover this possibility of brightness in the grass.
Yeah. The way that he's hugging it just looks really funny. You know, he's crawling along and hugging. And then two German guards, Frick and I, they continue their conversation where Frick basically says to him, well, roughly translated, did you hear something?
And no. Is the other guard's guard name Frack? It's not Frick and Frack, are you sure? Darn it.
No.
Missed opportunity.
No. Or maybe it is Frack, but it's not mentioned as Frack. How's that? He probably does have a credit at some point because of the fact that he actually says nine. You know, but I'm not sure who he is. There is a guard, I think, named Kramer. Maybe it's him. Heinz Weiss. Don't know. There aren't many of the German
credited.
Regular guards that are mentioned here. Yeah, credited. There's a SS officer named... No, that's not him. No, so not mentioned at all. He didn't get his due credit for saying nine. Not the number nine. Nine as in no. I didn't hear anything. Basically, at this point, Frick starts getting a little suspicious and starts walking out. At this point, we once again get to see our trio of heroes getting even more scared. They all duck down.
Yeah, well, he's got his flashlight out now,
so. Be spotted. Yeah. And then we get a shot inside of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. We get to see Griff.
Very impatiently.
To get out with, very impatiently. And then we get to see Goff pulling the rope for someone to be coming in. And, I mean, Griff is the tailor. So, you know, he's not used to escaping. So, obviously, he's probably completely and was wondering why things are going on. And he starts saying, come on. We go back to seeing Frick walking around the field, turning on his flashlight, scanning it around. Now, as you see him scanning the flashlight around, you see how close he is to Cavendish.
Yeah.
He's very close. Now, in the original script, he actually steps on his hand.
Oh, see, that would have been good. Does he see him? Like, does he cry out and he's alerted to it, or he just steps on him?
He steps on his hand, and he has to muffle his cry so that he doesn't
say anything. That would have been cool. We should have kept that.
I mean, also in the original script, there's it's a little confusing because they switch places between Cavendish and Griff. Even though Cavendish makes the noise, but Griff is already out, as opposed to almost out. But I like the way that they did it in the finished film. It works out a little better this way. So Frick is looking back and forth, turns up the flashlight, doesn't see anything. Then we get to see Griff once again, and you see he's profusely sweating. He's really, really scared. You know, he wipes his face, wipes the sweat off his face as he's looking around. Then he tugs on his hat. I mean, these characters all love...
A lot of hat tugs.
Yeah, seriously. Why are they so concerned about their hats? Is it because that in German culture during World War II, you walked around with a hat? And if, you know, they're scared that they're going to... If they lose their hat, then someone's going to be more concerned of who they are. Because if you think about it, I think every single character is walking around with a hat.
That's a really good point.
Again, I don't know the answer to that, but it's possible.
Huh.
And you can see on his face... I mean, the way that Robert Desmond plays Griff is great because you see, you can see his anxiety. You can see the way that this character wants to try and figure out what's going on. You know, am I supposed to go? Am I not? I mean, we saw the fact that Max said to Roger that he's going to pass it on to people. And, you know, they discussed this, we discussed this yesterday. That he's going to pass on the information to everybody. Basically, they passed it on to Cavendish. Okay, who... I guess passed it on to Griff and is passing it on to Goff. It's very possible. I mean, a few weeks ago when they showed up at the barracks, the three of them showed up together. So you know that their numbers are close to one another anyway, which is something that I only noticed this time watching the movie. The close proximity between them showing up in the barracks and being the POWs that are escaping, you know, one after the other. Mm-hmm. But you know... Basically, once Max started letting someone else give instructions, that's when things started happening because, you know, the first guy that gives it to him didn't wait apparently for the tug and you know caused all of this problems with his.
Well, and yeah, that anxiety you start getting, that telephone game, right? Like he's waiting and waiting, and the rope isn't being tugged on, and he's like, "Wait, did I miss it? Did I not? Why is it taking so long?" I mean, if I was him, I would have been worried too. You know, you'd start thinking, wait, did I mishear the directions? Did they forget to tell me something? And then you just get more and more nervous, not knowing what's going on.
No question about that. Basically, he keeps looking up, and he's looking down, and he's looking around. He does this so well. You really get the impression as to, you know, this guy is basically getting ready just to let it all out in his pants.
Poor guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a tailor. He's not an escaper, you know?
That's right. But apparently, you know, he got a good number.
Yep.
Even though his number is 77. So I don't know if that's the best number, but, you know, he thought it was a good number. And then we get to see Frick again looking around. I love the way his eyes move back and forth.
Yeah.
They go all the way to the side.
They really do. It's a great shot.
You know, and then he turns his head and his eyes still stay all the way to the left. Or right.
It's like those paintings looking... on the wall that follow you no matter where you are.
Exactly.
He's a good man for a guard position.
Well, because he himself knows how to deal with escaping from a prison, I guess.
Yeah.
Then we get to see Cavendish lying prone on the ground, and you can see he just doesn't want to move a muscle with what he's doing. Then we get another quick shot of Frick, and you can see on his face that he basically says to himself, I must have been imagining things.
Must have been an
There's
animal.
Nothing here.
Yep.
Which is really funny, because you'd think that he should be looking down at the ground.
You would think. And, I mean, you're talking about how in the original script he steps on his hand. I mean, dude could have fallen into the hole. I mean,
yes.
We really could have had a problem here.
He could have had a very big problem.
And this is one of those minutes where they really use the music quite a bit.
Yes.
You know, this is where the music really starts. You've got, like, three different kinds of music happening where you've got the quick succession of notes, right? That like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kind of bum, 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 note. And then you've got the high-low sort of note. It's almost reminiscent of Jaws, even though it's not at all, but that repetition of those two notes going from one to the next, from the, you know, the low note to just a little bit higher. And, you've got those timpani rumbles happening, and then they start putting them all together as the tension starts building and building, you know, because you've got a guy right there. We've been joking all week about how these guys don't the least bit worried about being caught, and we've got, you know, Hiltz is out there, and he's just kind of standing next to the hole, and everything's fine, and everybody comes out of the hole and runs, and we've got a guy who authentically could get caught, and the whole thing could fall apart, and now we really get the tension. So it's like the comic relief has been cast aside, I think. And the music is really saying, yes. Nope, this yes. is some serious danger.
And that's one of the things I love about the music in this movie, is that it keeps changing the tone of the movie and the story. You know, it doesn't get too intense, but it still
definitely
raises the tension. You know, and as you mentioned, it goes from the comical aspects to the serious aspects. But I think one of the reasons, and I've mentioned this before, but I think one of the reasons why this movie works so well is that most people, when they think of a German prison camp, they're thinking, yes, of gruesome, you know, images. They're thinking of sadistic guards. You know, when you think Nazis, you think of bad Nazis. You know, I'm not saying that these are good Nazis, but they're not,
mm-hmm,
mean Nazis,
right,
I guess you can say. You know, they're doing their jobs. The movie tries to establish that quite early with the whole idea that you know, we're the Luftwaffe, and we're not the SS, we're not the Gestapo. They're, you know, trying to show the difference between them. One can also look at that as some criticism of the movie, the fact that, you know, they're belittling the atrocities that some of these guards might have committed. I mean, the original book discusses the fact,
yeah,
that there were prisoners who were shot. A few weeks, months ago, you know, I had a whole discussion about the whole idea of sports in the camp. You know, and, you know, if the baseball went over the fence, they'd have, like, this flag that they would, mm-hmm, have to wave in order to go get the baseball. But sometimes there,
right,
were guards that would disregard that and still shoot the prisoner. I mean, these things did happen in these situations. But the movie keeps the tone on a low burner,
mm-hmm,
throughout
I
the
agree.
Entire movie. Which again, it helps, but also,
right,
hinders. Because it takes away from
the gravity of the real situation of it.
Part of, yeah, exactly. Takes away some,
true,
of the anger that we should be having about a lot,
true,
of the things that are happening here by them downplaying it a little bit. It's still effective. That being said,
it is definitely.
All right, that's all I got for this minute. You have anything else?
No, I think that was a pretty well packed minute.
Yes, it was a lot of tension.
Yes,
a lot of tension. And tomorrow the tension will go up.
That's true.
And we even might get to hear some shots being fired.
Maybe.
Who knows?
You're going to have
to come back tomorrow to check that out. So, Lisa, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find information about the Behind the Scares podcast on the Rabbit Hole, Down the Rabbit Hole podcast network. And you can find information about the Sib List there as well. That's a podcast that I've been working on with my brother. And, you know, we each have a list that we're working off of. And one of those lists is our own personal list of doom, movies that we don't want to watch. Not necessarily bad movies, but just movies personally my brother and I don't want to watch. So we leave it up to the chance. The wheel chooses for us, and we go at each other. So it's worth a few laughs, that's for sure.
You want to give everyone an example of one movie
that you
don't want to discuss, that you will have to discuss?
I am just not.
Or you want to keep them, or you want to keep people in
suspense? I'll give you a small taste. So I am not a Will Ferrell fan. So,
okay,
not saying his movies are terrible, but I personally just don't want to watch them. So you're going to have to check out our catalog to see how often they've come up so far.
I would think that based on what I know of you, I think you would probably love Stranger Than Fiction.
I have heard that quite a bit, to tell you the truth. Just haven't watched it yet. So I may have to
get on that.
I'm sorry. Well, this may be your next Minute by Minute podcast. I mean,
it'll be mine, meaning you'll be inviting me to yours.
Well, we could do that too. Maybe I'll do a Minute by Minute on Stranger Than Fiction. This could be interesting.
You never know. All right, so while you're doing that, you can contact us by going to our Facebook group, The Cooler. Our Twitter account is GreatEscapeMXM. Our website is TheGreatEscapeMinute.com. And our email address is TheGreatMinute@gmail.com. So, Lisa, you want to come back tomorrow and finish off the week?
Let's do it.
All right, so until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.